Lovely to be with you today on this beautiful spring morning. Who would want to be in any city in the world apart from Perth? We've got the best weather, haven't we? It's absolutely fabulous. And not only do we have wonderful weather, we've got a wonderful God, a glorious God. I enjoyed the praise and worship this morning. Did you? Giving the praise and the honor and the glory to our God. It's good to praise the Lord. When you praise God, something happens in your spirit. Life comes. Amen. I want to read from Mark's Gospel, chapter 5, and verse 24. Mark chapter 5 and from verse 24. So Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed around him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. Because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Immediately, her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once, Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" "You see the people crowding around you," his disciples answered. "Yet you can ask, who touched me?" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet and, trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your sufferings." The title of my message this morning is this. This is the title. When faith meets grace, miracles happen. When faith meets grace, miracles happen. You know, if you was to go to Bible college and being in Bible college, you'd be recommended to read certain theological books. And a lot of theological books describe God in various ways, his characteristics. And they use words like God is omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent. Big words, aren't they? Which simply means all-powerful, all-knowing, and everywhere. But they use a word that we don't use in everyday language, omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent. Because God is all-powerful, all-knowing, and he's everywhere. That's what those words mean. But they also say, and this is interesting, that God has impassibility. He's impassive. And that word that describes God in theological books means God is incapable of suffering pain, incapable of suffering harm, and incapable of emotion. Let me just say that again. This is what is taught in many theological books. God is impassive, impassibility. God is incapable of suffering pain, incapable of suffering harm, incapable of emotion. When I read that and studied that, and it tells me God is incapable of emotion, I think, what Bible are they reading? Because I have to just take a simple look at the Bible, just a simple read of the Bible, God's Word, spells a different picture. God is not a misty vapor, but an actual person. Can you say amen? God feels delight, anger, and frustration. God feels that. God portrays himself over and over again as shocked by human behavior. There are biblical instances where he changes his mind. There is a word that theological books use to explain these conditions. Let me try to pronounce a word to you. Anthro, homophysim. That word means they explain away why the Bible says that God feels things. Now, that you can't find that word in the Bible, by the way. It doesn't exist. It's only in theological books. But we're not going to go down there what the theological book says, because I'm only interested in what the Bible says. Amen. It's what God says that counts. When you read the scriptures, especially the prophets like Jeremiah, Isaiah, Hosea, you see God describing himself as a forsaken parent seeking his children, as a jilted lover, or as a divorced person. Sadness, pain, rejection describe God over and over again. God hurts when he sees his sad, bad, mad world. God hurts. Do you understand that we are made in the image of God? And do you understand if we have emotions, we're made in his image? That means God's got emotions. In fact, the Bible says God is love. Everybody say God is love. God is love. Now, people tell me that love is not emotion. I know it isn't. So don't come up to me afterwards and say love isn't emotion. I know it's not. But I will tell you this. It is impossible to love without emotion. Think of it. You can't love somebody or something without emotion being displayed. It is a total impossibility. And if God is love, there must be a lot of emotion that God displays. I'm glad about this. I'm glad that my God is not a mist or a vapor. I'm glad that he's a person who actually feels like we feel. We're made in his image. Divorced people hurt. Jilted lovers hurt. Parents seeking their children hurt. God hurts when he sees his sad world with its violence, anger, hatred, lust, greed. God is personally affected by this world's condition. And if you say he's not, then I just say go and read the Bible again. Don't come to me with big theological words that are not in here. Read what is in there. You know, the Bible tells us that God was manifest in the flesh. The Word became flesh. And we gave a name to him. His name shall be called Jesus. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. And the Word became flesh. God in the flesh. How many of you know that Jesus hurt? Do you think when they crucified him that he felt nothing? Do you think that on the cross, when he died, there was no pain there? Do you think he didn't feel rejection? Do you think he at times felt loneliness? My God, why have you forsaken me? He knew loneliness. He knew pain. He knew suffering. He knew what it was. He's God in the flesh. And if you don't think that God in heaven has feelings, well, I'm going to tell you, certainly Jesus does. And did, and displayed them for us. But you know, God, sometimes we don't realize this, that God's got feelings, because we've got feelings. And all we think about is, God, do you care about my feelings? What are you going to help? Are you going to help me, God? Are you going to do something for me, God? And we sort of think of God as just a big Father Christmas sitting up there smiling all the time, and he's not helping us as he should. Well, he's hurting. I'll tell you, if God's looking down on this earth today, which I know he is, he's hurting. With the evil, and the violence, the abortion, with the pain and the suffering, the hunger, the thirst, the murder, the rapes, the violence, the anger, the greed, the selfishness, the wars. God sees all that. Don't tell me God doesn't think anything about it. He hurts. Because he made the... Do you know what it says in Genesis? chapter 1, when God first made the heavens and the earth and he put man on the earth, God looked at it and he says, it's very good. God absolutely liked what he made. Do you know God liked what he made? And he liked human beings. You read on a few chapters later, in Genesis chapter 6, and he's about to destroy the earth. And this is what God says, I am sorry that I made man. I repent that I made man. Look at the shame of this person. Look what he has done. Look at the sin and the wicked. His heart is evil continually. I'm sorry I made him. Wow. Well, does that sound to you like God's changed his mind? Just to me. Why is this? Is it God's fault? Is it God's fault the world's in a mess? Is it God's fault that people take drugs? Is it God's fault that there's suffering and shame and violence and hatred? Is it God's fault? No! He didn't make the earth like that. He made it a beautiful place, a glorious place, a wonderful place, a place of peace and tranquility, a place of fulfillment, a place of Sabbath for us to enter into the rest of the creation that God had made. But we mucked it up. We blew it. So I just want you to think sometimes about God and feel sorry for him. Come on. You don't hear preachers say that, do you? Feel sorry for God. Sometimes I do. In fact, sometimes when I've not been the person I should be, I look in the mirror, I think, oh God, look at me. I really feel sorry for you having to put up with me. I do. I've said that a number of times. Do you know what? I'm amazed at God's patience. With me, I mean. And looking at you, he's probably had a lot of patience with you as well. He's patient. He's caring. He's forgiving. Keeps on forgiving. We call it grace. God's got grace. Wonderful grace. Even though he's hurting, even though he doesn't like what he sees, he's not saying, I'm giving up on you. He's saying, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Jesus came to give us life, and life to the full. Jesus said, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy, but I've come that you might have life, and life to the full. So the one who is hurting, that's God, who created it all, the one who has made it, loved it. Let me try and put it this way. Can you imagine a parent, and I don't know you personally, but I know that I had a son. One of my sons went off the rails some years ago, really bad. Thank God he's not there now. He's after many, many years. After 25 years of praying, we got him back right with God. But I know what it is as a parent when your son goes off the rails, how I hurt. How I hurt. How my wife hurt. I understand that. How much more does God hurt when we go off the rails? And all I wanted to do was for my son was to get him right, to get him back. Do you know God is the same with us? God sees the hurt, he sees the pain, he sees the suffering, and he's hurting because we're hurting. He's hurting because we hurt. But God hasn't given up. He sent his Jesus, his son Jesus, to die on the cross for us, that through his blood we could be washed clean and brought back to God. Because God has got grace. I'm going to say a few things that some of you are going to find it just hard to understand at first, but stay with me. You can't give God grace. It's impossible for you to give God grace. Because you don't have any. All grace comes from God. And grace is like water. It flows down to the lowest point. And guess what? You're the lowest point. I'm the lowest point. God's grace flowed down. You don't offer God any grace. He offers grace to you. Isn't that wonderful? You haven't got anything that you can give God. Don't anybody ever say here, oh, well, all I want when I get to heaven is justice. Don't say that. Because if you say that, you'll go to hell. Because that's a bit of justice that you deserve. don't get upset. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. And our righteousness is like filthy rags in his sight. Hey, come on. You don't offer God anything except just one thing. I love this story of this woman. I've preached on it to you a couple of times before. But at times in my Christian walk, when I find that faith is a little bit weak in me, I turn and read this again. Because this woman is a remarkable woman in that one, the Bible never even mentions her name. She's coming to visit Jesus, and Jesus at that time is with a man called Jairus, who's a ruler of the synagogue, and he's come to Jesus, he's come outside himself, and Jesus was surrounded by a crowd of people, and he says to Jesus, my little daughter is sick, come heal her. And Jesus starts to walk with him in the crowd, pushed through the crowd. This woman had been bleeding for 12 years. She was a Jewess, so she would have done all the right things. She would have gone to the priest like the word tells you you should do. She would have had all the prayers, but she didn't get healed. And then she went to the doctor, spent money, went to quacks, spent money. In fact, he says she spent everything she had. And instead of getting better, she grew worse. So here is a woman who's been bleeding for 12 long years. Bleeding, hemorrhaging for 12 long years. She's got no money in her now. She's spending it all on trying to get better. She's not got better. She's worse. So she's in poverty. She's not allowed out in public because according to the law you weren't. She couldn't go shopping publicly. She can't go to parties, festivals. She can't do that. She's got to be in a lonely situation. And I look at this woman, I think, now there's a candidate for bitterness. This woman could be asking the question that you would never ask. Oh God, why is this happening to me? You never ask that, do you? God, what have I done to deserve this? You never ask questions like that, do you? You're too spiritual. I can just tell by looking at you. You're too spiritual. You'd never ask such questions. I know you have. The lot of you. Things go wrong in our lives. People cheat us. People come against us. Things don't happen the way we want. We didn't get the job that we wanted to get. Didn't get the girlfriend we wanted to get. Got married and it didn't seem to work out the way we wanted. Just didn't that. We didn't manage to get that house that we wanted. All sorts of things happen to us. And often we could say, well, God, what have I done to deserve this? Why me? This woman could have said the same. She was a Jewess. 12 long years of bleeding, she could have said, well, great God you are. I've done everything I know, and I'm not healed. She could have become bitter and angry. She could have become callous and twisted, because that's what pain and suffering tends to do to people. But somehow, some way, she heard that Jesus was passing by. And she said these remarkable words. Well, in the scripture I've read, it says she thought them. She thought, if I just touch his clothes, I'll be healed. I think it's in Luke's gospel. She actually says it out loud. If I can touch him, I'll be healed. She said, if I can touch him, I'll be healed. If I can touch him, I'll be healed. Where did that come from? Where? She'd been bleeding for 12 years. How many times do you think she'd been to the synagogue for prayer? She'd been to all the doctors and nothing's happening. Do you think she wants to continue to bleed? Of course she doesn't. Because now she's anemic. She's fainting all the time. There's no fun in her life at all. She can't go out publicly. 12 years later, instead of becoming angry and bitter at God, she heard about Jesus and she said, if I can touch his clothes, I'll be healed. Where did that come from? I want to know. When I get to heaven, I'm going to find out. I'm going to seek this lady out and give her such a hug. Now, I don't know her name, right? And I know in heaven she's going to have a different name, because we all are going to have different names in heaven. Isn't that wonderful? Don't come looking for John in heaven, because that won't be my name. I've got a new name written down in glory. So this lady, I don't even know her name, but I tell you what, I've got plenty of time. If you text me a million years, I'll find her. Because we've got eternity. And I'm going to give her a hug. And I'm going to say to you, lady, you don't know how much you encouraged me on earth. When things would come against me, I'd read that story that you said, if I can touch his clothes, I'll be healed. It wasn't that she got sick the week before, or the month before, or the year before. It's 12 years. 12 years of total disappointment. And she said, if I can just touch him, if I can touch him, I'll be healed. Where did it come from? When she was eventually healed, Jesus said to her, your faith has healed you. So what was it that when she was saying, if I can touch him, it was called faith. Years and years ago, when I was at school, I was a real bad lad at school. I didn't know much at all. I was ignorant. And we used to have science lessons. And I don't know, I suppose it's still the same today in the science lab. You've got Bunsen burners and test tubes. Do you remember the Bunsen burners and the test tubes? Well, the teacher had gone out of the classroom. And I thought I'd do an experiment. I got the Bunsen burner, I got the test tube, I put some stuff in it. Don't put it in it. I put it over the flame. Nothing was happening. So I'd got it, I was holding it with some thongs over the flame. I thought, no, nothing's happening here. So I saw something else. And I got it, and I put it in the tube, put it over, and then boom! There was this explosion. And all my hand got burned. The teacher came in, and he saw what had happened, and instead of being sympathetic with me, he was fuming. Warwick, what have you done? I said, I don't know, sir. I don't know. He says, you don't know? He says, you idiot, you silly fool, you could have burned the place down. He said, do you know what's just happened then? I said, no. He said, it was a chemical reaction. First time I'd heard that term, chemical reaction. We've all heard of chemical reactions, haven't we? There was a chemical reaction in that jolly little bit of glass, in that test tube. It was a chemical reaction. Sometimes when chemicals meet, boom, something happens every single time. When certain chemicals meet, you can't help but have a chemical reaction. Well, I want to tell you that this woman had a spiritual chemical reaction. She said, if I can touch him, just touch his clothes, I'll be healed. Now just think of this. He's got hundreds, maybe even thousands of people that day, but let's say hundreds. Let's say there were 700 or 800 people. How many of you know that's a lot of people? And they were all crowding round him. They were just crowding, wanting to touch him. A lot of people in that crowd were sick. A lot of people want to hear what he got to say. A lot of people. But when Jairus came, they knew Jairus. He was a synagogue leader, and he walks toward Jesus. He didn't have to push people away. They'd see him, and they'd move. And so they'd make a carpet right up to where Jesus was. So he just walked up to Jesus. Everybody saw Jairus. He's an important man. And he was weeping. He was crying. He said, Jesus, my daughter, she's sick. My little girl's sick. Come and heal her. And Jesus said, okay, let's go. So they start to walk away from where this woman was. Now, this woman got to the crowd. Can you imagine how she'd feel that day when she got there and there's all these people? She's anemic. She's fainting. She's weary. She could have saw all that crowd and thought, what is the point of bothering? Every time I get my hopes up, they get dashed. How am I going to get through that crowd? But you know what? She never said that. She said, if I can touch him, I'll be healed. 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 And she's talking like this. And the Bible says by the time she got to him, by the way, he's walking away now. He's not standing there waiting for her. Come, daughter, come. No, he doesn't even know she's there. And so he's walking away. And she's coming behind him, and she thinks, Again, the devil would have said to her, what's the point, you silly woman? You're sick, you're supposed to be sick. You've been sick for all these years. That's God's made you sick. Put up with it. That's what the thoughts would have gone through her mind. But she says, now, if I can touch him, if I can touch his clothes, I'll be healed. When she got to him and she pressed in, that would have been enormous. That would have taken every single bit of energy that she had. She would have felt like vomiting. She would have felt like fainting. She was in a bad way. When she got to him, she touched the hem of his garment, which indicates to me she ended up on her knees to get to him. And she touched his garment, and immediately she was healed. And she packed off into the crowd. The crowd all came around her. And Jesus stopped. It says he felt power go out of him. And he turned around. And he says, who's touched me? Now, isn't this amazing? Jesus didn't even know she was there. Come on. He didn't know her name like you don't and I don't. He didn't know she was there. He hadn't got a clue that she was there. He didn't know she was in need. He didn't know it was a woman that had touched him. He says, who touched me? He looked at Peter and John and James. Who touched me? What do you mean, who touched you? They said, everybody's touching you. Because they were all crowding around him. And I don't know how long he was there for saying this. A few seconds at least. And there's Jairus. He wants him to come with him. Jesus has stopped because somebody touched him. Somebody touched him and he felt it. But what about all the people who were touching him? Well, the truth is, all those people who were touching him wasn't touching him. There was only one person in that crowd that day that touched him, and this was this woman with this hemorrhaging. And she's there. She knows she's healed. She just don't feel dizzy anymore. She doesn't feel sickly anymore. She ain't going to vomit now. She just is afraid of what he's going to do. Because something's happened to her, which was phenomenal. And now she thinks, oh, am I going to get in trouble for this? So she, eventually she came forward. She said, it was me. I could see her on her knees. It was me. Jesus just looked at her. Now, he doesn't know her name. Doesn't know her background. He's got no words of knowledge from the Holy Spirit about her at all. Just that some power went from him into her. And this is what he says. Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace. Didn't say, can I have your name, please? Didn't say that, did he? Where do you live? Didn't he? Just says, and then he went off with this guy because now his daughter had died and there was an emergency here. His servants came and says, don't trouble the master anymore. She's died. And when Jesus heard that, he said to Jairus, don't be afraid. Just believe. Just believe. We've had that this morning with our worship, haven't we? Just believe. I could see Jesus putting his arm around Jairus, and then they're walking towards that other miracle that happened. What happened when this woman touched him? Because he didn't know she was there. He didn't know her name. He didn't know. What happened? A spiritual, chemical reaction. See, what was this woman displaying? Faith. I said earlier that you can't offer grace to God. And if you think you can, you really misunderstood what it's all about. You can't offer grace to God. There's only one thing you can offer to God, and that is faith. Let me say this. Grace flows down. What is grace? Grace is a lot of things. It's forgiveness. It's God's love. It's God's mercy. It's God's compassion. It's God's healing. It's God's empowering. It's God's salvation. All those things come into the word grace. I could keep you here for a whole day just talking on the words that encompass the word grace. Now, do you remember in John's Gospel, we've already quoted it, it says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, the same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. John chapter 1, and then verse 14, and the Word, listen to this now, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the Father, listen, full of grace and truth. Jesus Christ is the embodiment of grace. When you touch Jesus, you touch grace. I think that deserves an amen.
Amen.
I think one better than that.
Amen.
Let me say it again. You know, you're not sleeping, are you? You're not falling asleep. Not at all. We can't do that. When you touch Jesus, you touch grace. Amen. God, I love that. You see, a chemical reaction took place. Now listen to this. Grace flows down like water to the lowest point. But faith flows out and up. I can't offer God grace, but I can offer Him faith. I can't give God any of my righteousness. It's not worth anything. I cannot offer God grace. I've got nothing that God says, oh, lovely, great, I didn't have that, thank you. That's going to really be good for me. You're giving me your watch? Oh, wonderful, I've never had a Fitbit like that. I've never had a what like. No. There's nothing you can give to God apart from the one thing that He requires, faith. Because when you offer God faith, you touch His grace and all the goodness of God comes into you. Hallelujah. I am what I am because of the grace of God. Do you think I'm a nice fella? You can answer that. Don't you think I'm nice? I do. Didn't used to be. Used to be horrible. Used to be just absolutely no good. But I think I'm good. I can say that because God's goodness has come within me. God's love, God's mercy, God's peace has come within me. Hallelujah. I've got the grace of God in me. I've got to make me good. I'm not talking about my features. God will deal with them a bit later. And yours. I'm going to have a new body soon. But right now, you are new inside. I told you this, I think, the last time I came. We're a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. And that's by grace. And all I did was to believe as a 15-year-old kid, after going into a church to break up a meeting, giving the youth leader a lot of hassle, really being naughty. I had a gang of lads with me. We smoked, we swore, we cursed. We just wanted them to chuck us out of the church. We just wanted to break this service up. Cut a long story short, after the meeting, he challenged me with the gospel. Challenged me. You don't know, he says, if on the way home tonight you'll get knocked over by a truck. He says, and then what will happen? And do you know what I said? He said, where do you think you'll go if you die? Do you know what I said to him? I was 15. This is what I said. Well, I know I won't go to heaven because of what I've done. That was the Holy Spirit was convicting me of sin. I knew that. He said, no. He said, but would you like to go to heaven? I said, of course I would. Everybody would. He said, okay, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. And he took me back into the church, brought me down to the front. I knelt near the altar. He laid his hands on me and said, say this prayer after me, just a simple prayer. He asked me before, he said, do you believe in Jesus? I said, yes. All my mates were outside laughing their heads off. They thought I'd done it for a joke. They're all at the door looking through, thinking I've done this for a joke. He said, do you believe in Jesus? I said, yes, I do. It's okay, I'm going to pray for you right now. Say this prayer after me, just a simple sinner's prayer. And guess what? I touched God. My faith rose and the grace of God filled me. That was when I was 15. I'm now 78 and I'm still receiving the grace of God. Hallelujah. still doing it all these years. God's never let me down. God's never forsaken me. God has never turned his back on me. God has never exposed me. God has always hidden my sin, and God has always washed me in the blood. Hallelujah! Glory to God. Now that might not seem a lot of importance for you younger people here, but when you get to my age, it's very important, because I ain't got long left. Now, when I was a young man, I got a whole life before me. I never thought I'd even reach the age of 70. That was hundreds of years away. You know, I thought, you see my mother, and I used to go, how old she thought, I'd never be like her. But guess what? All of a sudden, you're there. And I'm looking, how much longer have I got? I'm 78. Well, I'll probably live to 120, but it's still not as long as I've come. But if I live 2 more years or a year, who knows? It's important for me to know this, that God's grace has filled my heart. And not only has he done me good down on earth, he's built me a home in heaven. Come on. Even now, God has done some wonderful things. People were asking me about how my wife, Julie, is. A lot of you know her. She used to come here with me. And she has dementia. And I nursed her for about 7 years. And she's now in a dementia home. She's been there for 18 months. And when she first went in, it was so hard. Because she didn't want to be in there. She was forgetting everything, but she was remembering me, and she was reaching out to me, and she at night time she'd walk the corridors crying my name, not wanting to be there. So I've been praying for God's peace to be upon her. And I said, you know, I want your peace. Because you'll keep them in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. So I was praying this. A little voice said to me inside, I think it was the enemy, well, you can't pray that prayer for your wife, because she can't keep her mind on God. She's got dementia. It says, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. The devil says, you can't do that. So immediately God put another scripture in my mind. The peace of God that passes all understanding will garrison your heart and mind. So I said, that's the peace, Lord. That's the one she's getting. Her mind is gone, but she can have peace. So I prayed for the peace of God to come upon her and the joy of the Lord to be her strength. Well, my wife now in that nursing home is one of the favorites there. Because somehow, some way, we got a lot of, there's a lot of African carers there. And they just love her. They've taken to her. Some of them are born again Christians. And they buy her clothes. They put African clothes on her. She wouldn't be seen dead in them normally. But, yeah, bright. This lady went back to Africa over Christmas, come back with this beautiful red, white, colourful dress, which she'd never wear, and put it on her because she don't know what she... And she bought her jewellery. Big. My wife always had small little, tiny little things. She'd only... They bought her this chunky jewellery, you know, African jewellery, big. And she'd got them on, and they put makeup on her. They love her. They call her Mama, and they really love her. Do you know what she does? Remember, she's got dementia. She still knows me. Some days she doesn't, but she doesn't. She knows her children, but she don't remember the names. But she doesn't know any of her grandchildren. Okay, we got 10 grandchildren and 10 great grandchildren. She don't know any of them. They're gone. That's gone. But I'm praying, God, let your peace come upon her. And she started to say nice things to people. And people don't do that in dementia centres. If you've been to dementia centres, you know they don't. They just mostly just sit there. I was coming out the other day, and just as it was lunchtime, and this old guy there sitting down, his lunch was in front of him, and he'd got some on a spoon, and he'd got a hat on, and he'd got it that far, and he was asleep. He was fast asleep. Oh, how sad is that? Couldn't even finish. He'd got it stuck there, but he was asleep. My wife started to tell people that she likes them. And she'll say, oh, I really like you. You're such a lovely person. She tells the carers and she tells the inmates that they're lovely. She loves them. And she says things like, Jesus loves you and I love you. Isn't that amazing? She's got dementia. She's really, I'm telling you, she's bad. But she's saying this. And because nobody does that, she sort of spreads joy. Because it's a dementia center where she's in. She's spreading joy in that place. Isn't that wonderful? I'm saying this to her. I'm just taking a bit of time for this, for the folks to know. That my wife is at wonderful peace now. And she's got wonderful, wonderful joy of the Lord, which is her strength. And they come and read the Bible to her. They put Christian songs on for her. And because she's never in a room. She won't stay in her room. She's round all in the lounges and in the corridors talking to people and telling them that she loves them. And I thought, wow, I wish you'd have done that to me. No, she did. I'm only joking. So I'm thinking, God, you could, even with a dementia person whose mind is not working, God's peace can keep them. I didn't get many amens then. So there's some doubters here, you see. Well, if you knew my wife, you wouldn't be doubting because she's doing it. I'm telling you, she's doing it. And dementia people don't behave like that. But she is. Because she's born again. And although her brain isn't working the way it should, her spirit is still alive to Jesus. Yes. See, there's something about faith that connects with grace, and a spiritual chemical reaction takes place. I'm nearly finished. All those people that were surrounding Jesus, how many people do you think were sick? There would have been hundreds and hundreds of sick people around him. And the disciple says, everybody's trying to touch you. But as far as Jesus was concerned, only one person touched her. See, I could touch my brother here. That's just a touch. It means nothing. But if I touch Jesus like that, it means nothing. But if I touch him by faith, there's a transfer. There's a chemical reaction. Do you understand?
Yeah.
These people were touching Jesus. They were not touching him. They were touching Jesus and nothing was happening. But this woman touched him by faith. Daughter, your faith has made you whole. He said the same thing to blind Bartimaeus. Do you remember that? Exactly the same thing. Your faith has made you whole. So I just want to leave you with this. I want to encourage you to keep touching God's grace by faith. Faith means you believe. Well, in the song so beautifully, I believe. We sing it, but we don't do it. Faith is something that is a reality within us that actually can touch God in many ways, in different ways, touch him. I'm born again, and you're born again only because your faith touched him. Come on. You're not born again because you're good looking. You're not born again because you're rich. Not that any of you are. And you're not born again because you're intelligent. And some of you are very intelligent here. But that doesn't make you say a Christian. And you're not born again because you go to church. And you're not born again because you read the Bible and you pray. That doesn't cause you to be born again. You're born again because you believe in Jesus Christ somewhere, somehow, some way. Your faith connected with the grace that's in him. Because all grace is in Jesus. And bang, it happened. You got born again. Your spirit was renewed. All your sins were forgiven. And God started to make for you a home in heaven. Hallelujah. And all you did was to believe.
Amen.
So don't try and think you're here because you're really good. You saved me, God, because you really needed to. Aren't you glad you saved me? Boy, if you'd have missed out on me, you would really have missed out on something. You know, people think like that. People go to church who've never been born again, and they think that they're holier than thou. I've met them. You know, I'm here, I go to church. Jesus told the parable about two men that went into the temple to pray. One of them stood here to pray. The other guy stood over the other side to pray. And the guy on this side, he prayed like this. He was a Pharisee, I think. And he says, "Oh God, I thank you, I'm not like him. I go to church regularly. I pay my tithes." And he was telling God how good he was. This other guy, who he said, "I'm glad I'm not like him." This other guy, he says he just bowed his head, smote his chest. And this is what he said. "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." And Jesus said, God heard his prayers. Isn't that wonderful? This guy, he got a lot of verbose talking. And this is what God did when he talked. Didn't hear a word he said because he was talking out of his own stupid pride and own righteousness. This man realized he needed the grace of God. Are you encouraged? Are you glad you're saved? Well, I say I'll ask you again because you're not too sure about it. You're having to think about this, aren't you? Are you glad you're saved? Say it. You don't. How? What an insult to Jesus when you sit there like this. I've asked you, are you glad you're saved?
Well, suppose so.
Jesus died on the cross, shed his blood, went through all the pain and the suffering because he reached to us. It was grace from heaven that reached the lowest point, you and me. And all we had to do was say, I believe. And wonderful. And keep on. The way that some of you are answering now, just wondering whether you're still believing. Because some do. Some people start to believe and then they stop believing. Well, shame on you. How sad it would be if you was in a race and you was running and you nearly got to the finishing line and you thought, oh, I can't be bothered. You'd think, that's crazy, wouldn't you, if somebody was like that? Well, people do that. People walk away from God. People get so taken up with what the stupid world is. Some people so desire this world. I think, dear God, the world's a mess. Come on. The world is, just take a look at it, will you? It is what we call a mess. You say, well, you know, we in the Western world, we got a lot of money. What does that mean? It just means that you can be comfortable in your misery. That's all that money means, because money doesn't bring you joy. Money doesn't bring you satisfaction. Money doesn't bring you fulfillment. Money doesn't do that. Only God can do that, because God made us for himself, and our hearts have no peace or rest until they rest in him. Amen. Are you encouraged? Yes. Just close your eyes for a second. Just close your eyes. Bow your heads. Faith reaches up. Faith reaches out. Faith needs to touch the grace of God. Grace flows down. You don't have to reach too far. Your faith doesn't have to reach heaven. Your faith now just has to reach out, because Jesus has sent us his Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Jesus went to heaven physically, but he said, it's good that I go, because if I go, I'll send you another comforter. The Holy Spirit, the counselor. He's here. The Spirit of Jesus is here. You don't have to reach to heaven with your faith. You just got to reach Jesus right now in your circumstances. If your marriage isn't going well, if your finances are giving you a hard time, if you've got sickness in your body, if your kids are off the rail, if you're feeling just downcast and depressed, maybe lonely or suicidal, just reach out where you are, because the Holy Spirit is near you. She didn't have to go far to find where Jesus was, and she was able to touch him. She had to press through. And the faith did that. And maybe you need to press through. I'd like to say a prayer for you just now. I want to pray for your faith to touch the grace of God. See, I could pray for your needs. But if your faith isn't there, very little's going to happen. Maybe it's faith that needs to grow within us today. So I want to pray for people here who would say, John, I've heard what you've said, and yet I know my faith isn't where it should be. I need to get back to the Word of God, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word. I need to get back to that place where I'm walking in faith and not by feelings or by sight, as the song earlier said. We're not going to do that, he said. We're going to walk by faith. But you know you've not been doing. I want to pray for people here. No one looking around. I just want to pray for people who feel, yeah, my faith needs a boost. Pray for me that my faith will rise. If that's you, just raise your hand so I can see it. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, God bless you. Bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You put your hands down. Okay. Father, I pray for all those people who raise their hand. The Lord would say to you today, yes, sir, I am not a mist. I am real. I am a person who knows everything about you. I know what you're going through right now. I know what your history is. And I also know your future. There's nothing that you have done that's been hidden from me. And there's nothing that people have done to you that's been hidden from me. For I am the Lord your God. I am full of power. I am full of holiness. I am an awesome God. I am everywhere. I am all powerful. And I come to you today to say, just touch me. Because my grace is flowing to you. I see your hurt. I see your disappointment. But my grace is flowing to you today. I see your loneliness. I see the times when you feel so lonely that you do cry. No one sees, but I see. I haven't left you. I have not forsaken you. Somehow, some way, the affairs of life has caught your eye. The actions around you have caught your eye. The comments that people make to you has caught your mind. But I'm saying to you, I am the Lord your God. I am the awesome one. I am your heavenly Father who sent you, my Son, to be your Savior. Reach to me today. Let your faith touch my grace, and healing will come. Abundance will come. Satisfaction will come. Purpose for life will come. Loneliness will dissipate. Because I walk with you. I want you to walk with me. Thank you, Father, for speaking to us. For all those who raised their hand. And perhaps even for some that didn't, Lord. But should have done. I pray that as we go from this place, we will meditate on your word. We will read this story over again. This lovely passage from your word throughout this coming week. And get excited about the power of faith. Lord, I pray that the faith of each person that raised their hand, their faith will start to grow, start to increase, and they will see such a difference within their personal lives and within the life of this church. Bless this church, Lord. Let faith rise to meet your grace that flows down. And we will be careful to give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. Thank you, folks.